Today's daf is Chulin Daf Samach Daler. We are 17 lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Gimel Amid Beis, moving along in the sugya of what exactly makes up an oif tahar and what makes up an oif tahar. Says the Gemara Tanya, Rabbi Yoimer Kol Yidulf Nei Mishama V'Haya Ilam. It was Galui V'Yodua for HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shebehema Tmeya Meruba Minat Tahiris, that there are a lot more Behemos Tmeyos than there are Tahiris. In order for a Behema to be Tar, it has to be Mafreses Parsa and it has to be Malaskera. All other animals are Tame. Lefichach, it's for that reason Mana Kasa B'Tahira. So, to keep it simple, what the Torah did was the Torah mentioned the simonim of a Behema Torah and everything else is going to be excluded. But the same token, it was Goliath via Dul of Neakadish Baruchu, that the Oifais Tahirim are much more than the Oifais Tmeim. In fact, there are only 24 Oifais Tmeim. Everything else is Tar. So, therefore, what the Torah did was it mentioned the 24 Tmeim, so that we'll know that everything not mentioned in the Torah is Tar. Maika Mashmalon, Kidurafuna Mara, the Amrilo Amarafuna Amarab, Mishumra Meir, La Oilam Yishana Adam, the Talmidai. This is in fact a lesson. It's coming to teach every person who's teaching Talmidim that you should always speak B'derech Kitzar. That's what the Torah did. The Torah could have been Mayrech and the Torah could have mentioned all the animals that are Tameh. The Torah could have been Mayrech and the Torah could have mentioned all the Oifos that were Tar. But the Torah didn't do that. What the Torah did was it spoke B'derech Kitzar. The Torah spoke about the Behemos Tahirim. The Torah spoke about the Oifos Tmeim. The reason is because they are the Muat, not the Meruba. And from here we learn La'olam Yeshana Adam L'Talmidei Derech Kitzara. Parenthetically, who's the one that said this? Rav, Kidrafuna Amarav, Va'amrila Amarafuna Amarav Mishum Rameir. But it's Rav. Rav is the one throughout Shas who has memories about the value of Shtika. Rav said, Sichas Chulin Shatamid Chachamim Tzrichim Talmud Masach Tesukah. Rav says in the beginning of Masach Tes Chagiga that a person is going to have to give Din V'cheshbin for everything, even for the Sicha Kala Shebein Ish Le'ishtoi. The Rambam says about Rav that Rav never spoke a sicha b'teila kol yomav. You find shasik Rav. You don't find shasik Shmuel. You don't find shasik Rabbi Yochanan or shasik Reish Lakish. Kiveg and Gilian Hashas in the first part of Masech Tesukah is Metzayin, a whole bunch of places in Shas where you find shasik Rav. Rav was a phenomenal shaskin. We've spoken a lot about this. Rav was a chassid. There's a b'raisa that mentions asorim milud chassidus that Rav was noig. And all the achroidim, Rav Tzvi Hershchayis has a tshuva, and his child's tshuva's maratzchios, that if the b'raisa is mentioning the 10 milud chassidus of Rav, and the Rambam's right that Rav never spoke the Sicha B'Teila Kol Yomav, you'd think it would have made the Braisa's top 10. So how come it's not mentioned anywhere? It says that Rav used to always daven for the Yomid. Rav never looked outside of his Dalet Amos. He never went without his tzitzis and without his tefillin. If Rav never spoke a Sicha B'Teila Kol Yomav, he was such a shaskin. How is it possible? How is it possible it's not mentioned in the Braisa? Either way, again, this is Rav we've spoken a lot about, but this is all Rav. La'olam yeshana adam l'tamidai derech kitzar. And this line right here is from the most important lines in the sugyas that we're learning here in the latter part of Perikei L'Treifas. Bezus Hashem, at the end of the daf, we'll speak out some raid about this. But for now, Rabbi Yitzchak said a very important halacha, that if you want to know if an oif is tahar or tameh, as we see that there was confusion even amongst the Amiraim, even the Mefarshei HaMishnah and the Mefarshei HaTanach weren't sure about the exact nature of many of the 24 Oifos Tmeim that are mentioned in the Torah. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, I'll tell you a very important way to live, and that is, if there's a Mesoira on an oif that it's tar, trust the Mesoira and you could eat it. He continued and he said, Neman Hatzayid Loimar, a hunter is believed to say, Oif Ze Tahar Masali Rebbe. Meaning that is in and of itself a Mesoira as well. If a hunter says, I have a Mesoira from my Rebbe, that this is okay, then that constitutes Mesoira and that would be fine. In other words, Rabbi Yitzchak was making a broad general statement that oif tahar necho b'mesayris, and as a sub point to that general statement is that a hunter who says that I have a Mesoir from my Rebbe, that would constitute Mesoir. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan qualified that. He said the only time that Tzayid can trust on what his Rebbe told him, and that would be the equivalent of a Messiah is Vahusha Baki Bahem Ubushmoisein. You would need that this Rebbe should be familiar with the 24 Oifos that are Tame. He should also be familiar with the names of the 24 Oifos that are Tame. So if he's someone that's very, very versed, he's very knowledgeable in this field of science, then you can trust him when he tells you that this oif is tar, and that would constitute Messiah. Boy, Rab Zeiro said, Rabbi Chacham and Rabbi Tzayit. When Rabbi Yitzchok said that a Tzayit is believed to say that oif ze tahar masali Rebbe. Rebbe as in his Rebbe that he learned in yeshiva from, or and is his Rebbe in hunting, his mentor, the person that taught him his parnasa, says the Gemara Tashmat, I'm Rabbi Yechon, Abu Shabak Yubahem, Abu Shmaisen. Rabbi Yechon qualified this. He said that the only time this Rebbe is believed, if he's very, very knowledgeable in this field, says the Gemara, Yamir Bishleim, Rabbi Tzayed, Bishleim, if we're talking about his Rebbe that's a hunter shopper, then it makes sense. Eli Yamir Rabbi Chacham, but if it's his Rebbe as in his Rosh Yeshiva, Bishleim, Shmayu Gamalu, okay, I could understand that maybe his Rebbe Chacham will be familiar with the names of these animals. Ella or birds, Ella Inu, Mi Yadalahu, but how's he supposed to know the exact nature of these birds? It's so unlikely that his Rebbe Chacham would be familiar with the exact nature of these birds. Thus, it must be, says the Gemara, Ella Lav Shma Mina Rabbi Tzayid. Shma Mina. So Gemara held that this was checkmate. Shma Mina, Shma Mina. This must be proof that when Rabbi Yitzchok said, Neman Atzai, Boy Me'oif Zeh Toi Masali Rebbe, doesn't mean it's Rebbe Chacham. Because how's his Rebbe Chacham going to be Baki Behem U'Bishma Yizayim? It's not Mestaber. Rather, what the Rebbe Chacham will do when he's presented with a Shaila is he'll have resources and different Chachamim, people that are versed in this area of science, and he can speak to them and they'll be able to impart from their wisdom so that the Rebbe will be able to take that information like the Gedolei HaChachamim and the Poskim did throughout the generations and incorporate it into the Ger Yedias and Shas and Poskim and be able to determine what the Halach is. But the point is, as it relates to this Messiah, if Rabbi Yochanan said that the only time the Rebbe can impart a Messiah is if he's Baki Bahen Ubishmai Seim, it sounds like he himself has to have this knowledge. This is not secondhand knowledge. He has to have it on his own. And it must be that it's Rabbi Tzayit. It's interesting because, you know, you do find that the Gedolei HaChachamim were bekiyim in a lot of areas of science and math and medicine. In fact, the Rambam, when he lists the criteria of being a member of the Sanhedrin, so the Rambam says that in addition to, you know, being a tremendous Talmud Chacham and being refined in midos and being humble, an imposing person, it's also necessary to have secular yediyas, because otherwise, how are you going to judge? And you have to be oisik b'yeshuva shel olam on some level to be able to, you know, understand these basic halachas. But at the same time, I guess to take it to this level of a hush Shabaki Behem of Bishmai Seim, there it was understood by the Gemara that would have to mean Rabbi Tzayed, that could not mean Rabbi Chacham. In fact, the Vilna Gaon says that you find, with regards to the law of Shoichad, so the Pasuk says, Ki Shoichad. Ki Ashoichad Ya'aver Eini Chachamim, and you find Ki Ashoichad Ya'aver Eini Pikche. So once the Torah uses the Lashon Chachamim, it's the same law. Another time the Torah uses the Lashon of Pikchim. What's the difference between Chachamim and Pikchim? So the Goyin says that a Talmud Chacham, a Dayan, we're dealing with a Dayan, had to be Baki, both in Chachmas HaTorah, and he had to have Shar Yedias as well, because otherwise, how would he be able to properly Paskin a Shaila? How would he know if it's a Din Meruma, Ayin Shama, it's a Vilna Goyin and Mishle? But either way, so there is a concept of Ki HaShoichad Yaveh Eni Chachamim, Ki HaShoichad Yaveh Eni Pikchim, the way the Rambam lays it out in the beginning of Sanhedrin, but at the same time, on this level of Baki Behemish Maisem, it was understood that the Messiah would have to be not from Rabbi Chacham, would have to come from Rabbi Tzaitan Rabbanon. So the Gemara is going to digress now. We're going to discuss a completely different halacha, which is going to take us into tomorrow's daf, but we'll come back and answer Shem read wise and speak about the Oiftar and the Taif Tameh. But first, a sugya about eggs. Loikim Beitzin Min Ha'Oivdek Echavim B'chal Machim. You're allowed to buy eggs from a non Jew. The in chayshishin, and the chiddush is that you don't have to be concerned. Loy mishum nevelus, the loy mishum treifus. The halacha is that kol hayotze min hatameh tameh. It's a gemara masechtas b'chayrus davav. That anything that you are not allowed to eat, any animal that's off limits, anything that comes from that animal is off limits as well. It's for that reason you're not allowed to drink the chalav of a non kosher animal. You're not allowed to drink even the chalav of a kosher animal, that's a treifa. The same is true for an egg. So if a non-kosher bird lays an egg, obviously the halacha is, you're not allowed to eat the egg. Stating that, says the Braisa of Chiddush, you're allowed to buy an egg from a non-Jew, and you don't have to be concerned that this egg, even though you know for sure it's the egg of a chicken, you know it's a kosher egg, you don't have to be concerned, loy mishum nevelus, loy mishum treifas. Why? The poshet, the reason is, because you could assume that roiv of these eggs are not nevelus, roiv of these eggs are not treifus, it could be semichan roiv, called a parish, maruba parish, it's for that reason it's not going to be a problem. But the Gemara asks, sakash v'dumadayiv tamei ninu, that's all good if you know for sure that it's coming from a kosher bird. So if it's coming from a chicken, for example, which is kosher, so now your concern is, was it a nevela or treifa? We know roiv are treifus, and nevela certainly is going to be a mit. So as a result, we could assume for sure that it's kosher. But what about the concern that maybe it's coming from a non-kosher bird? Not all birds are kosher. I mean, we see it's very confusing, the halachas of what makes a kosher bird a non-kosher bird. So you see an egg, how do you know that it came from a chicken? Maybe it came from something that's not kosher. Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, so Rav Yehuda Shmuel answered. He said, it only works if the guy tells you that this egg that I'm selling you, it came from that chicken right there. Two things. Number one, he says it came from an oif tar, but oif pliny. So the Gemara says, "V'le mishal oif tar." Why do you have to say oif pliny tar? Why do the Shmuel have to add that into the ikimta of what the non-Jew has to say in order for us to be able to buy his egg? So the Gemara says, "Because he hachi islay leishtamute," because otherwise he'd be able to finagle his way out if he was ever caught that he wasn't telling the truth. In other words, Avu the Shmuel says he can't just trust a non-Jew. So you have to have circumstantial evidence. There has to be something making us feel comfortable that he's actually telling the truth. If he points to the chicken and he says the egg came from this chicken, then we trust him. Why? Because this person's obviously running a business, albeit a mom and pop perhaps. It doesn't matter the size of the business, but this is something that he needs to do in order for him to be able to support his family. So we assume that he won't lie if it can compromise his business in any way. So if he points to a chicken and he says that this is where the egg came from, and then later if he was found to not be telling the truth, then obviously it would come with an invoice, and that's something we assume he's not willing to do. Thus, it's in that circumstance, and only in that circumstance, that we trust him. If, however, he says it came from a chicken, it's going to be very hard to disprove him at a later point. He said, "What, it came from a chicken? I know it didn't come from this chicken." So it's true, it came from that one, or the chicken that it came from died. He has to give us specific information so that we would be able to be sure that he would be afraid to be lying, because if he was lying, we'd be able to find out. What's interesting from this Gemara is it sounds like that on some level a non-Jew has namanas. I mean, ordinarily, if a guy tells you that something is kosher or non-kosher, or if a guy walks into Beis Din and he wants to say edus about that a Reuven loaned Shimon money, of course a non-Jew is possible edus. So from this Gemara, it would seem that given certain circumstances, there's no question that in any Yehudi, sometimes is belief. Now, of course, if you're going to sit down and learn the sugi, which we're not going to do, the first thing you're going to say is, this is not a question of dinei mamonos. This is not a question of dovesha be'erva. This is certainly not a question of dinei nefashas. This is a question, is it a kosher egg or is it a non-kosher egg? Which finds itself in the chelak of Shulchan Aruch known as Yerideya, which for the most part deals with iser veheter, which then means that you have to invoke the principle of eid echad nemen b'yisur, right? What does eid echad nemen b'yisur mean? If you're dealing with iser, as in iser v'het, it's kosher, it's non-kosher, it's shatnez, it's not shatnez. You know, questions of iser v'het. So al zeh nemar eid echad nemen b'yisur. Eid echad nemen b'yisur by definition means that it doesn't require hilchas eidus. So maybe for eid echad nemen b'yisur, a guy is believed. But the truth is, a guy is not believed eid echad nemen b'yisur. He's only believed eid echad nemen b'yisur if there is some level of circumstantial evidence. For example, masich lefitumai, and clearly the opinion of Avu de Shmuel in this Gemara right here, that if there is some sort of umdana that he's not going to be lying, because this is what he does for a living, and he's not going to lie and then have his business shut down. It's not worth it. So it's for that reason he would be believed. There's an important marumakim as it relates to the nemanus of any Yehudi, specifically as it relates to the halacha of it. Tois asks another kasha. Right, the Gemara says you're allowed to buy a beitza from any Yehudi. Why not? So we said because it's a miut. Roiv behemoth are ksherim, they're not treifas, and nevelos also a miut. So at the end of the day, you have a roiv, and we're not chayish lamiuta, it's for that reason it's okay. So Mara asked a different kasha. Okay, it's very nice, you're not worried about the fact that it might be nevela treifa, because roiva not nevela treifa. Maybe it's from a non-kosher bird. Kosher birds are non-kosher birds. Which is the majority? Which is the minority? There's 24 non-kosher birds. Every other bird in the world is kosher. If that's the case, roif should tell me that it's kosher also. So just like you can go bust a roif and you could assume it's not from an avela or dreifa, why can't you go bust a roif and assume that it's from an oif tar? What's the Gemara's kasha that it has to be from an oif tame? So Tosfos says that really this kasha is totally in the machlekes Rashi Tosfos that we never really spoke about. That's the harder part of the sugya that permeates this entire sugya of oif tame and oif tar. Because as much as it's true that there are 24 oifos tameim, the Gemara keeps on saying that. But at the same time, we also know the Gemara was Sunday's daf. But right in the beginning of the sugya, where the Gemara said that the Torah said that the Nesher, that's the first of the 24, 20, 21, 22, 24, whatever, but the first of the oifos tameim that I mentioned in the Torah, and the Nesher doesn't have any simoni Torah, and from the Pashtus in the Gemara, daf Samech Aleph, it sounded like that any other oif that doesn't have any simoni Torah is also going to be off limits. So it's true there are 24 oifos that are tmeim that are singled out by the Torah. But we also had that braisa that the Gemara mentioned on Daf Samech Aleph, that at the end of the day, there is a concept of simonim when it comes to an oif, and it sounds like the nafgamina of this simonim would be the nesher. I mean, it would be anything that's similar to the nesher. And just like the nesher has no simoni taira, and it's for that reason it's not okay, so to any other oif that has no simoni taira. That means there might be a lot of oifas in the world that don't have any of the four simoni taira, and as a result, they're also going to be off limits. Now, the truth is, whether such an oif is tameh or tahar is machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learned in that Gemara, again, we didn't go through this now, so it's hard to go into it now post de facto, but Rashi at the time learned that when the Gemara said we're marba, everything similar to the Nesher, it meant anything within the species of Nesher. It has to be something similar to Nesher. But at the end of the day, there's 24 types of oifis tmeim, and there's nothing else that's included. I had that braisa that seemed to be marba other oifis only within the world of Nesher. But if it's for sure not a Nesher, and it's not one of the other 23 oifis, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. Tosfos shita was that you have to be marba everything. So Tosfos said, according to me, it's a small Tosfos on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis, this Gemara is a geshmak. Because it's true there's 24. That's true, the Torah listed 24. But there's a very important caveat to this 24. And that is anything that's similar to the Nesher, which is a game changer in halacha, etc. But either way, Zok de Gemara Vaita. So what was the basic halacha? The halacha was you're allowed to buy a beitza from a guy. Stating that, there's a very important caveat, and that is ba'omer shel oif ploinitar. It's only if the guy points to the bird or the chicken that it came from, and we know for sure that it's tar, it's only then that we trust. It says the Gemara, what's the problem? Meaning, if he doesn't point, you have to be concerned. Maybe it came from an oif tameh. L'chura, there's a way to know if this egg came from an oif tameh or if it came from an oif tar. How's that? V'livdei b'simanim. Why don't we check the simanim of the egg? So we've had the simanei treifa, the simanei behema, the simanim of the dogin, the oifis, the chagavim we're going to have in tomorrow's daf. So says the Gemara, there's simanim of a kosher egg as well. Let's check the simanim. The tanya, ki simanei beitzim, kach simanei dogin. The simanim of an egg are like the simanim of a fish. The Gemara says, simanei dogin sol kadaitach. The simanim of a egg are like the simanim of a fish. We know what the simanim of a fish are. It's a mishnah, snapper v'kaskesis, right? Fins and scales. No fins and scales on your egg. Amrachman elas. So the Gemara says, kach simanei ubre dogim. What it means is that the simanim of an egg, of an oif, are similar to the simanim of the eggs, the roe of fish. Regardless, what is the simanim? V'tanya gabi beitzim, elohin simanim beitzim. Kol she koideres v'agul goylis. If it's round, roisha echad kad, v'roisha echad chad. If one side of the egg is rounder, the other one is a little sharper, right? It's that, the shape of an egg. Tahira, then it's going to be tar. Bez rasheo kadim, if both sides are round, or bez rasheo kadim, or if both sides come to a point, tameim, it's going to be tamei. Chelboin mi bachutz, v'chelmoin mi bachitz, v'befnim, so chelboin, loosely translated as the white part of the egg. The chelmoin, loosely translated as the yolk of the egg. If the white is on the outside, and the yolk is on the inside, that's the way it's supposed to be, tahira. Chelmoin mi bachutz, the chelmoin mi befnim, if it's in the reverse, tmeya. Chelmoin the chelmoin mi uravim zebezeh. If the white and the yellow are mi uravim zebezeh, and you can take a look at the art scroll for a detailed
discussion of what exactly that could mean. But regardless, biyodua shehi beitzas asheretz. Then we know that it comes not even from an animal. It must come from a sheretz. But either way, what do you see from here? This simanim of a kosher egg. So fake the Gemara, what's this whole issue? Why can't you just buy an egg from a non-Jew? He doesn't have to have the manis, edechen have bisurim, asich lefituma, he's not going to risk his business. Rashi's pshat, Tosis pshat, and you could, in the chavdal reifis tmeim, just look at the egg. You'll know from this line of it. Didn't Chazal give us a mesoira of how you're supposed to check if an egg is kosher or it's non-kosher? So the Gemara says, like, tzrika dechatucha. I still remember where the egg was cut already. But the Gemara says, okay, even if the egg was cut, meaning you don't have the shell, you don't have the shape of the egg, you could still check the chelmen and the chelboin, shouldn't you be able to look and be able to identify it based on the white and the yolk of the egg? So the Gemara says, betrufa, it's bekar. It's told him, oh, you already had, mashed eggs. So that ayin sibul, it's too late. You know, you already made it. It's sitting on the tail next to the yapta. It's over. So the Gemara says, chai gavna mizav nidimi nai. But the Gemara says, 1 second. Then you're not allowed to buy it from him. Because for time, we went to the price, hey, meichrim beit say treifa, levi kechavim. You're not allowed to sell an egg that's a treifa to a goy. Elohim came true for Bikara unless it was already mashed. Lefichach is for that reason. Being that you're allowed to sell a mashed egg to a non-Jew, it's for that reason. Ain't like Mehembes, it's true for his Bikara. You're not allowed to buy a mashed egg from a guy. Why? Because we're afraid that he's going to sell the egg that was a mashed trefa back to a yid. So if you're going to sell it to a guy, now you know the guy's in possession of these treifas, maybe he's going to sell it to you. Bottom line is, you're not allowed to buy a beitz or trufa because you can't tell me that that's what's going on over here. So either way, so what's the kasha? So just, why can't you just look based on the simonim that Chazal gave us and buy an egg from a guy? The Ein Loimar, it's talking about where you mashed it already, so there's no simon, because if you mashed it and there's no simon, you're not allowed to buy it. Now we're discussing someone who's allowed to buy it. The shaila is it from an avail? Is it from a treifa? Is it from an oif tamei? So the Gemara says, oh, Rav Zeir said, you have to say simonim lav deiraisa, that these simonim, as it relates to an egg, are not deiraisa. Rashi says, hanuch simoni beitzim lav alocha l'mesh misinai ninu. These are not halacha l'mesh misina, and as a result, you're not allowed to rely on them. It's different than the simonim of the oif and the simonim of the behemoth. These are psukim of the Torah. These are halachas l'mesh misina. As it relates to simonim beitza, they're not halachas l'mesh misina. What then is the significance of it? So the Gemara is going to explain. But first, the Gemara says, "I'll prove to you that they're not real halachas." Ravasi said, "Shmoyna sveikay saying we had this Gemara. There are eight birds that are safik if they're tamei or they're tar. What's the safik? Live like beitzim to do. Why do you check the beitzim? If there's a unique character trait to the beitz of a knife tamei versus a knife tar, then there's an easy way to know if this is tamei or tar. Eldash mami nasi manam lav deiraisa. Must be it's not deiraisa. The Gemara says, "Elo my hilchos tamei law. So if it's not deiraisa, then what's the purpose of this simanim? Hachi kam." As we'll see, Beis Rochel Kadim or Beis Rochel Chadin. If you see an egg and both sides of the egg are round, or both sides of the egg are narrow, or if the yolk is on the outside, the white is on the inside, Vadei Tmeah. These are signs of a Vadei Tmeah. Then you know for sure you can't eat the egg. So the simonim are helpful because if the simonim play out and tell you that it's Tmeah, you know for sure you have to get rid of it. Reishi Chad Chad. If one side is sharp, so Reishi Chad as in Chad one. It's chad, as in chad sharp, and reishe chad kad, and the other side is kad, it's round, or v'chel, maybe because v'chel mi b'fnim, or it's the right way, the white is the outside, the yolk is on the inside, v'amalach shalai plaini v'taru, and then you want to buy it from a guy, and the guy told you, by the way, it's tar, then smaych aleim, then you can be saying, b'stamalei tismaych aleim, d'ikka urva, the dami l'deyayna. So, the truth is, the simonim are not full-fledged proof in the sense that you can rely on them exclusively. But at the same time, they are helpful in the due diligence process when you're trying to determine whether this is kosher or whether this is non-kosher. Meaning, if you see the beitza and it has the simone tumma, you know you have to discard it. If you're buying from a guy and he tells you that it's okay and it has the simone taira, so then in the context of these halachas, when you do trust the guy, you don't trust the guy. So again, we're going through this gemara quickly, but you in the event that we're discussing maybe being able to trust the Eina Yehudi, we can definitely use this as a sniff leheter. It's something that can be used as a resource in us determining whether this is okay or whether this is not okay. Amar chelboin v'chelmoin me'uravim zeh b'zeh b'yodua shi beitzas ha-sheretz. In the event that the chelmoin and the chelboin were mixed together, then you know it's from a sheretz. So my hilchasa, like, why? difference does it make if the beitza is from a sheretz or it's from something else? Regardless, you're not allowed to eat it. So what? Why does it matter if it's from a sheretz? What it means is if there'd be a little crack in the egg and somebody would touch the embryo of the sheretz that's inside the egg, he'd become tamei. Assuming it's one of the shmeinah sheretzim that are metamei, once they're dead. So the dead embryo, so to speak, would have the ability to be metama, bikadasha, that's the shir that a sheretz is metama, and the halacha would be that you'd be tame. So it's nogeya hilchas tumah. Maskef l'rabino, v'duma d'nachashi. How do you know from the egg that it's an egg from one of the shmeinah sheretzim? Maybe it's from a nachash, which is a sheretz tahar, can't eat it, but it's not one of the shmeinah sheretzim that are metame tumah sheretz. So maybe it comes from a nachash. How do you know that you should be tame? Alamai rova, shem rikva v'achva. You're right, that can't be what it meant. Because you would have no way to ascertain that the person is tameh by touching the embryo inside this egg, because how do you know that it came from one of the Shemayna Shratzim? Maybe it came from one of the other Shratzim. Where it would chapa nafkamina by saying that it's from the Sheretz is that if somebody ate it, he would get Malkus Mishum Sheretz HaSheretz Al Ha'aretz. If somebody eats a Sheretz, he gets Malkus. So that's where it's negay. It's negay to give the person Malkus. Ihachi. And for that, it doesn't have to be one of the Shemayna Shratzim. Right? You get Malkus if you eat any Sheretz HaSheretz Al Ha'aretz. The Shemayna Shratzim are unique. Right? You hear a lot about the Shemayna Shratzim. Perik and Masechta Shabbos. But that's always in the context of Tumah. As it relates to Tumah, there's something unique about the Shemayna Shratzim. Every sheretz, you can't eat an insect. Doesn't matter if it's from the Shemayna Shratzim or it's the ninth sheretz. The halach is you can't eat a sheretz ala aretz. So as it relates to Tumah, yeah, you have to know if it's from the Shemayna or not. But as it relates to the Isra Achila, not just Isra Achila, the Malkus, there, then that's where it was negated this halach. Ihachi, my iria de Tmeya, afilo de Tahirinam. But the Gemara's kash is, if that's the case, if we're discussing knowing that this is a sheretz by virtue of the fact that the chelmoin and the chelboin are muravim zebezeh, and it chaps a nafkamina to know it's a sheretz to give the person malchus, the truth is, even if this was from an oif tahar, if a person cracked the egg and ate the contents of that egg, the halacha is he would get Malkus regardless. What does that mean? The Tanya, kol asheretz, asheretz, ala oretz, l'rabbis, efroichim, shaloi niftechu eineyem. So the halach is that if there's a little chick inside the egg, it was like niftechu eineyem, didn't even open up its eyes yet, and then it died, if somebody would eat it, the halacha is he would get malchus for kol sheretz hasheretz al haaretz. Now sheretz hasheretz al haaretz. Usually you think of a sheretz. This is not a sheretz. This is a little chick that you know never hatched and never fully developed. Like niftechu eineyem and as a result, but it was a kosher bird. What does this have to do with a sheretz hasheretz al haaretz? Chazal marbe from kol sheretz hasheretz al haaretz. That the halacha is that even that chick you wouldn't be able to eat. But regardless, so what do you see from there? You see that mamonav shechav a person is going to crack open the egg and he's going to eat that little embryo, that little life that's inside the egg, he's going to get Malkus, whether the Chelman and the Chelban are Muravim Zebezeh, and we know it's from a Sheretz, or if it's a regular Geheder egg. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, even if it's a regular kosher chick, at the end of the day, so why do I need to know that it's a sheretz to get malchus for chol sheretz hasheretz al haaretz? Even if it's a regular afroyach, it's still going to be sheretz hasheretz al haaretz. The Gemara says no, because that halacha, although it's true, but it's only midrabban of across machdav alma. Midari raisa, there's no malchus. If someone eats a freichem shloy niftechoy neim, it's only midrabban. But if someone eats a sheretz, for that there is malchus. So it's negeya. If you saw the egg was the chelmin and the chelboin and you ate it, you'd get malchus for chol sheretz hasheretz al haaretz, which would not be the case if it was merely an efrech. Tanu rabbanon. Giule beitze mutar. So if somebody cooks kosher eggs and non-kosher eggs together in the same pot with hot water, so this is Hilchas Taruvos 101. So do you say that the egg is maflit and it's not the same time, the non-kosher one, into the kosher one, or no? So this is an egg in its shell, says the Braisa, the halach is mutaris, it's mutar, because nothing is transferring from point A to point B. Thus, ge'ule beitzin, the halach is mutaris. Rashi says, the maya ba'almahu, v'layavi tamu ba'achrenaisa. There's no time that's going over from one egg to the other egg, so if you cook a kosher food together with a non-kosher food together in the same pot with boiling water, that's a big problem. But in this case, being that these are eggs in a shell, you have nothing to worry about. Beitzim muzarois, those are addled eggs. Nefesh yafa toichlein. If someone is not very squeamish, meaning he can handle it, toichlein, he could eat it. Now, you see two things from here. Number one, that if you are squeamish, you can't eat it. And the reason is because there's a lav called Bal Tishaktsu. So Bal Tishaktsu, that's Nafshei Seichem, teaches me you're not allowed to put yourself in a super uncomfortable situation. So if you can really handle it, then yeah, it's beseder. But if you can't, then it's actually aser. But additionally, you see a chiddush over here, that if you're a nefesh yofa, you're allowed to eat it. Why would you think you're not allowed to eat it? It's an egg. The reason is because these eggs often have blood spots in them. So an addled egg is like a rotten egg. It's an egg that never fertilized, right? Just basics. A chicken lays an egg every single day, right? Approximately every 24 to 27 hours, a chicken lays an egg. Now, sometimes that egg will hatch into another chicken, and sometimes the egg will just be an egg that you can make scrambled eggs with. So what determines it? If the chicken mated, the hen mated with the rooster prior to it laying its egg, then the egg is going to fertilize and an efreyach is going to come out, another chicken. If it did not mate, then it's going to be a good old-fashioned egg. So beitzim muzarois are eggs that were laid after the hen mated with the rooster, and really, it should have hatched into another chicken, but something went wrong, and it just, for some reason, never properly fertilized, and as a result, it's a spoiled rotten egg, it's an addled egg, and most people wouldn't eat it. But if you could handle it, you're allowed to eat it, there's no Bal Tishaktsu, because you can handle it, and not just that, the fact that there may be a little bit of blood, which there likely will be, is also not an issue, and that's a chiddush. Now, what do you mean it's not an issue? You have to get rid of the blood. But as long as you get rid of the blood, you're allowed to eat the egg. The Brisa continues and says, similarly, as it relates to a regular egg. Sometimes you crack an egg, you'll see a little bit of egg. It doesn't mean you have to get rid of the egg, says the Brisa. You just have to get rid of the dam, and you can eat the egg. Stating that, it's not so simple. The only time this is true is if the blood was found on the keshet. That's the part of the egg where the sperm of the rooster touches the egg. Discussion of where exactly that is. There's a picture in some of the Gemaras as well. Another important qualification of when, if you have blood on an egg, all you need to do is discard the blood and you're allowed to eat the rest of the egg. And that is if it was found on the chelboin, if it was found on the white of the egg. But if it penetrated the egg, it's in the yolk of the egg, the entire egg is going to be awesome. My time of the shadow tichla bakula. Because once it's in the yellow, it's already m'urav in the entire egg. There's no way to save the egg. Amalei Rav Gavia mi beksilu Rav Ashi ipcha tani tana kameda Abaya. That if you want to know the history of this halacha, you should know that I heard a Tana tell it to Abaya just the opposite. He told Abaya that if the red, the blood was on the yellow of the egg, then it's going to be okay. If it's only on the white of the egg, then it's not going to be okay. And Abaya told him, no, you made a mistake. It's really supposed to be in the reverse exhale.